Hey, this is Woody B from the Dallas Mavericks, and you listen to Our Sport Radio.
Two guys talking sports from a fan's perspective.
I just like what Carolina's putting together. Their quarterback is better than Chad Henne. Cam Newton's better than Chad Henne.
So would you say at the end of the season that you're willing to say Carolina's going to have a better record than the Dolphins?
I think so. I think Carolina will have a better record than the Dolphins because the Dolphins have a tougher division in the AFC East.
So are we taping this?
Okay, so yeah, end of the season, I want to go back to that one because I'm not buying. Cam Newton is good, but I'm not buying him as a quarterback as far as leading them to the promised land or winning season. I'm not buying it.
It's Rocket Boy Fisher. This is the RF Sports Show. Coming at you twice a week, only on
Deep End Media,
Cutting Edge Entertainment.
Welcome, everyone, to a brand new RF Sports Radio Show. It is Thursday. Coming to you for the second time this week after broadcasting this past Tuesday, and what a week it has been. We've got a lot of stuff to get to. If you guys are listening to us live, make sure you give us a call. Give us your opinions. Give us a call at 323-927-2906. And for the next hour, myself, RF, along with my co-host, Royce Fritz, is going to take you through the entire sports world, everything that's going on, everything you want to know about. We've got Penn State on tap, of course. We'll get into some details about that. Some stuff I found out about the Penn State scandal. I don't think the world is aware of. Also, the NBA, there is a new deal on the table that may get ratified as soon as tomorrow. They can have basketball here before Christmas. We'll talk about that. And we also get into our midseason NFL awards and also the key matchups coming up for this upcoming week 10. So without further ado, let me bring on the star of our show, my co-host, or should I say my host, Mr. Royce Fisher. Royce, how are you, sir?
Ronnie, thanks a lot for the introduction. How you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good. It's Thursday. There's football on. There's college, NFL. And, again, there's a lot to talk about, which makes a great show. So I'm pretty good today.
Just make sure you don't get stuck like Rick Perry. So whatever we're going to talk about, remember, keep it in the back of your mind. I'll write it down. That way you won't get stuck. And maybe we won't have a Rick Perry moment. But I'm doing great, man. I'm excited about this high school playoffs that's coming up. You know, we start tomorrow night with the Solo, which will be live on our station tomorrow. For those of you listening, start at 6:45. And, you know, I'm kind of excited to do that tomorrow.
Yeah, it's going to be good. All you got to do is go to our website, rfsportsradio.com. You don't have to be living in Texas to enjoy some good high school football. And this team that we cover, the DeSoto Eagles, is 9-1. One loss from the season coming last week, and now they start their march into the playoffs. And if you haven't heard Texas high school football before, make sure you tune in for that coming up tomorrow, live right here on our website, rfsportsradio.com. Let's get into some late-breaking stories with a segment on our show that we call The Latest, which gives you everything and gets you up to date right up to the very minute. And we've got a lot of stuff to cover in The Latest. And today, The Latest is sponsored by ExecutePT.com. That's ExecutePT.com, ExecutePT.com. It's your personal training website. That way you guys can stay in shape during the holiday season. Big Turkey Day coming up, Royce. People are going to be eating a lot, and people make New Year's resolutions all the time. So why not get started early? Log on to ExecutePT.com and find out how you can stay in shape during the holiday season, which is, of course, pretty important.
Yeah, you got to get rid of that feasting. You know what I mean? Everybody kind of go overboard doing Thanksgiving.
Right.
But I can understand so. You know, it's one time a year you can get away with it.
Absolutely. Let's jump straight into it. A big story that's breaking right now, which you can find on our website, rfsportsradio.com, and that's Wilson Ramos of the Washington Nationals. He is a catcher for the Washington Nationals, a young kid, rookie season, 24 years old, was kidnapped in Venezuela. And this is something that happens usually every offseason in the Latin American countries. We hear about kidnappings all the time, and usually it's a family member. They've had some horrific incidents in the past. Henry Blanco, a Venezuelan-born player, had his brother was actually murdered when he was kidnapped. And even Torrealba, the player for the Rangers, son was kidnapped a couple of years ago where he ended up paying a ransom, getting his son back in Venezuela as well. And now, for the first time, a player has been kidnapped. And the details of the story, from what I'm hearing, Royce, he was at his mother and father's house in Venezuela along with his brother and his agent. And men pulled up in an orange SUV, came out, took him in a headlock with a Glock 40 to his head, took him in the car, and they haven't heard from him or seen him since. The car has turned up today, but he has been kidnapped, and no word from the kidnappers as of yet. This could be a pretty big story because we haven't had an actual player before kidnapped in that country. In that country, I didn't know, last year, Royce, they averaged 3 kidnappings per day last year.
You know, Rodney, that is really big in the South American countries. You know, and I understand they found the vehicle, but no word yet, man. That's, you know, the longer it goes, the more serious it is. I'm pretty sure a ransom's coming later. But, you know, like I said, it happened previously in 2009 with Victor Lambuzo. Mm-hmm. You know, but they released it. His mother was kidnapped. They released him at the commando-style operation, get her loose. But a couple of days earlier, they killed a cousin. But, man, this is bad news. I mean, these guys, it's bad they can't go home, you know, to visit. But most of these players are from, you know, humble families. And, they, you know,
yeah.
Some of their family relatives still stay there, man. But it's really a bad incident, man. You know, like I said, it's pretty bad in that part of the country anyway. In Mexico, too. You know, so maybe these guys need to go travel with a bodyguard or something, you know what I mean, if they're going to go home. So, but this is really a shocker.
Yeah, and we our prayers go out to his family, number one, and hopefully they can make some contact with him pretty soon. A very scary situation. Now, the Secretary of Interior, Hugo Chavez, his right-hand man, is actually heading the investigation because this is turning into such an international incident. So they are putting a lot of resources into trying to find him. Hopefully they hear word from him sooner rather than later, because they figure that these individuals that kidnapped him were not the smartest of guys. This guy's a rookie, only had one season in Major League Baseball, doesn't have a lot of money, so apparently they didn't do a lot of research on this guy. So we're hoping that they know what they're doing and they will return him to safety as quickly as possible. Late-breaking story, Royce, is the NBA and negotiations going on with them carried on past the deadline that was set for yesterday. We talked about it on our show last Tuesday. Hopefully when we came back, we have a deal done, although they rejected the original offer. Well, David Stern comes out moments ago, just a few minutes ago, and says that we have a brand-new deal on the table. They've actually went ahead and made some of the concessions that the union wanted to make. The new deal is out there. They hopefully get it passed tomorrow morning. And this new deal will start the NBA season on December 15th, and it will be a 72-game season. Now, Royce, are you optimistic? Is this going to get done? What are your thoughts after hearing that news?
I believe it when it's done. I'm tired of hearing this and that coming out of there. I want a signed deal next time I hear. And to go to 72 games, man, that's going to really change the NBA. It's going to be a lot of teams that aren't ready. The teams that are good teams are not going to be as good as they were last year, you know. And I'm not surprised, because my understanding was Paul Pierce and 200 other players were getting ready to sign a petition, you know, to certify the union. So I believe it when I see it. I hope the deal's done. You know, they had already gave Fisher permission to accept the 50-50. You know, but I don't think they're going to – I don't think that's no hung on the table. So I'm interested to see what happens. I believe it when I see it.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. And in other news real quick while we get our studio in order here, another quick news real fast. Phil Mickelson, everybody knows Lefty, as they like to call him in the golfing world. He was elected to the Golf Hall of Fame by several votes from his peers. And Phil, you know, has had a pretty decent career. Now, him and Tiger have been tied together for a lot of his career, but he is elected to the Golf Hall of Fame. So I guess congratulations for Phil Mickelson being elected to the Golf Hall of Fame.
Well, you know, my understanding was you're eligible after you turn 40. So
right.
I guess he was. And, you know, he's done a lot for the sport. He's a big name in the sport of golf, you know, but he only won 4 majors, Rodney.
Yeah,
you know, that's the thing. You know, he won four majors, but he has won 39.
You won one major, that's pretty big. That's pretty big.
Yeah, he did. And but he's won 39 events, PGA tournaments, so that's really not bad. And I'm not surprised if you just have to be over 40 to be eligible, I can see him going in. You know, there were some other nominees eligible, too. Fred Couples, Davis Love III, and Mark Amir. Now, I'm pretty sure those guys are good players, too. You know, especially Fred Couples. You know, I'm a big Fred Couples fan. But I'm not surprised Phil went in. You know, like I say, he has done a lot for the sport. And he's a good, you know, he's fun to watch on TV playing.
Phil takes some risks
out on the golf course.
And speaking of course, golf, we have to mention that our buddy, Tiger Woods, although he doesn't want to necessarily claim that he is black, but Tiger Woods is ahead in the Australia Open. He leads by one shot. He's down under, and leading by one shot in the Australian Open, so he has a great chance. And this is what they want. This is the tournament they wanted him to play before they get into the actual cup. And he's doing a pretty good job so far.
What a great tune-up for the President's Cup. You know, that's coming up next. But, that's good for Tiger. I'm glad to see Tiger back on his game. I hope he does come out of victim. Maybe this is the turnaround he needed.
Yeah, and other quick news, Albert Haynesworth did get picked up by the Bucks off of waivers. He's a Tampa Bay Buck. And give you guys a quick update on Thursday night football action. Looks like the Raiders and Carson Palmer would get their first win, 24-17 over the Chargers with 32 seconds left to go.
Wow.
And a lot of reaction on Twitter right now for Vincent Jackson quitting on a route, which I haven't been able to see, but we will see the tape of that. He may have cost his team the game in that one. But the Raiders, they get their first win under their new quarterback, Carson Palmer, so congratulations to them. And let's jump into our top story, our first topic tonight, one that we can't seem to escape from, Royce, and that is the Penn State story. We talked about it on Tuesday in depth. We talked about, you know, what we thought was going to happen. We knew that Paterno was not going to make it past Wednesday, and yesterday they made the decision to go ahead and fire Joe Paterno after being there 60-plus years as part of the football program at Penn State. We saw the students go out en masse yesterday all over campus in front of his house protesting, trying to, you know, some on both sides of the fence. I can't say it was one-sided either way. Some wanting Joe Pa to stay, some wanting him to go ahead and be fired. I thought it was a great decision and a timely decision. But my question is, I don't understand. You fired Joe Pa and that you leave Mike McCreary still there. Mike McCreary is the assistant coach. He's the guy that actually saw Sandusky in the shower with a 10-year-old. They describe him as a 10-year-old in the shower making these sexual acts and things of that nature. And yet he is still there, but the word did come out later today that he is not going to coach in this Saturday's game. But shouldn't he be fired as well?
Well, you know, Rodney, I've pondered this all day today. Let me say this first of all. I was really embarrassed and ashamed to see those kids out rioting and protesting something that's so delicate of a situation. You know, The victims were watching this, man. You got to imagine how they feel. You know what I mean? And these guys are cheering for the coach, Paterno. I know my understanding was he had a limited role in this. But nevertheless, the fact he still knew. And anybody that knew, for them not to, they didn't confront him. That's the bad thing about it. Nobody, you know, say, for instance, if you caught a friend of yours doing that, you know, the first thing, you may be shocked. You know, your reaction is, I can't believe what I saw. And you may be a little stunned, which I can understand it. But at some point, you have to go to that person and address him, you know, and say, man, what's going on? What are you doing? All they did was just really told them, don't bring any more kids on our campus anymore. But, you know, college is bigger than sports. And that's the thing that we're getting away from. It's not just sports. You're supposed to be there to get education. Sports is just part of it, you know. But to see these kids out riding, man, I was embarrassed twice. Embarrassed first because it happened. And then they let it happen, and embarrassed again because people are messed up because Paterno got fired, and he was part of it too. Anybody that knew, I consider part of it. And for them not to confront this guy about this, you know, that's really, really bad. I don't think you would do it, and I wouldn't do it.
Yeah. And it's the whole point I'm trying to make is this guy actually saw, he's the only one that saw with his own two eyes what happened. And yet they have yet to even fire him or even mention his name. I mean, they say he won't coach on Saturday. Well, fire the guy. I don't understand why you don't just fire this guy.
But he did. He did do his part. He did go to somebody higher up, which is what you do. Say if you're in the workplace and something like that happened and you really don't want to confront him, you're nobody really. You know,
you go to your boss, and that's what they tell you on the job.
You go to your immediate supervisor, which was Joe Paterno, was his immediate supervisor. So he did that, and what the thing was, he should have double-checked it, you know what I mean? He should have went back to see what was done about it or what was being done about it. He didn't do that. But, like I said, I'm pretty sure he was shocked and in awe of what he saw. He had to be. But anybody that knew, I'm holding blame for, you know, it really is.
Let's look at it this way. I think you're right. I mean, we're all taught in the workplace. If you see something like that, you see something wrong, you tell your superior, and it goes from there. But we're not talking about someone taking the stapler off of somebody's desk. If you he left that boy there with Sandusky. He left that boy right there with Sandusky. He didn't call the police. He went home and called his dad. He left that child there with the pedophile. And that's the problem that I have. You know,
well,
you cannot leave.
That's true. And, you know, you have to look at the kind of the state of the way the country is now. You know, everything's so promiscuous. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He could have thought it was a mutual sex act. You know, the boy could have been willing. You know, the other boy couldn't be with it. It wasn't like the boy was resisting or asking for help, you know. So that, in that sense, I can see because, you know, almost anything goes nowadays. I'm not saying child molesting is right, but, you know, the way the sexual thinking is like that nowadays, you know. But nevertheless, it was a child, and I can agree with you on that. It was a child. Now, I'm willing to see Department of Education is into this now. And the NCAA, I'm pretty sure, is going to get in that. But what else is going to come? I think they should scrap everybody that's in there and start all over again.
Well, let's talk about what else is going to come out. Let me bring on another contributor to the program. Let me bring Chris Fisher on. Chris, we got you live?
Yes, sir, we're here.
All right, good.
Hey,
now, I want to bring Chris on.
What's up?
I want to bring Chris on real quick, and I want to talk a little bit about an article that I wrote, and I put it on rfsportsradio.com. I got a lot of people send me back messages from Twitter, thought it was a great article. I got a lot of people send me back messages and thought it was inappropriate. And what I basically said in the article that I wrote, it was real, real short, real brief. I feel like Penn State should forfeit the rest of that season. They should not play this game on Saturday. They shouldn't continue to play the rest of the season in the postseason. And the reason why I said that was because during that press conference when they did fire Joe Paterno and fire the president, Graham Spanier, they basically said that they feel like they have to morally do what's right for the university. They actually said, and I quote, that the university is bigger than any athletic team. They said that morally we stand on our morals, we have to do this, moral that. Well, if you morally want to make something right,
you put the football program above this sexual predator for 10 years, for a decade. You let this man use your campus to be the devil's playground for a decade. You put football ahead of the safety of a child. So if you want to send a moral message, if you want to send a moral message to the world, to the players, to anybody involved, you do not play football when all this is going on. You do not continue to play football.
Well, I can't agree with you, because the kids playing ain't got nothing to do with that.
Yeah, that's right. You can't punish the
kids' career.
Right.
You can't put the college kids' career who worked all their life to get there and to play for Penn State, regardless of kind of whatever happened before.
Right.
I mean, you can't – if you had a nephew or somebody or a cousin playing for Penn State, you probably wouldn't say that.
Yeah, I agree with you, Chris. You can't blame
the
players for something that some grown adults did.
Right.
Right. The grown adults did that the kids had nothing to do with, probably had no knowledge of, and they didn't do anything. I say you fire anybody that knew or was involved in that. The kids had nothing to do with that. They had went there on a scholarship and tried to get in the NBA, NFL.
Well,
they'd done what they were supposed to do. And so you should punish them for what the adults did.
Right, and then you look at, I just say if you really want to send like a moral message, there's a different way you can do that, which is,
right.
You know, maybe some side of some sort of like restitution with the family, you know, maybe some give over some money or
right.
Free education maybe for the child.
Right,
or something, or
right.
Something that will affect it, you know, free education. Or maybe they could even do something like just kind of everybody that's involved, just fire everybody that's involved and keep moving. I mean, that's what I say. There's different ways you can do that, but I don't think they should forfeit over their season
right.
or anything. I mean, they're
right.
already going
right.
through enough as it is, man. They got to sit and just watch everybody play the rest of their season, their college
right.
career, and their hopes of going to the NFL are just, you know, shot because, you know, they feel like they should morally stop playing.
Right. I agree.
I thought about that, but I honestly feel like these kids that are scheduled to play this game, scheduled to play the rest of the season, I understand it may not be fair to them, but you know what? They get over it. I think what the school did was unfair. I think what the school did was unfair. I mean, they put their football program ahead of these kids that have been molested up there for 10 years.
The school didn't do it. Certain people did that. You know, because Joe Paterno is such a legend. He's bigger than football in that town. You know, he is. So I say him and his staff should, everybody that knew, should be punished. But you can't punish the school because some people are there just for education. Everybody's not there for football. So you're punishing the school. Now, a lawsuit is coming. I know the school should pay because they let it go on without anything else done. And everybody that is involved should be sued. A criminal, a prosecutor or whatever. But you can't blame everybody for several people's actions.
Well, I understand that, but again, like I say, I just think that more should be done. Maybe that's the point I'm trying to make. More should be done. Something drastic should be done because I think, like you said, a lot's coming down the pipeline. And this is what the latest to come out of this was. There was a gentleman that actually works for a newspaper right there in State College, PA. Wrote an article about all of this in 2008 when the investigation first started
right.
with these allegations. They really pretty much overlooked what he wrote in the paper, just like the school overlooked what was happening on their campus since 98. And he was on a Boston radio station this morning, and they asked him exactly, what do you think is going to be the next shoe to drop? He's saying that there was some type of cover-up done in 98 when he was first made these allegations of showering with an 11-year-old boy. And that's going to come out. The other thing is there's an investigation that's being launched by organizations at the federal level, as well as
the Department of Education, and
also some worthy news organizations into the Second Mile organization. And the reason why they want to investigate Second Mile is because they think there's a rumor going around that Second Mile was an organization set up who had an undertone of actually giving high-level donors access to young boys.
Well, you know, Rodney, I think it goes back further than that because Second Mile was founded in 1977. So I'm pretty sure it goes back further than that. And I'm pretty sure there's a lot of people that's not going to even say anything because they're embarrassed. So I'm pretty sure before it's all over with, this thing is going to blow wide open, and I think it's going to go real deep.
And one thing that you have to keep in mind, I know people think that's far-fetched, but it's really not. Pedophiles know other pedophiles. You see it all the time. You see these trading of pictures online between pedophiles. You see, and it's not too far-fetched for it to happen, that there are organizations that have some type of undertone, some type of dealing in this area. And the investigation is being launched right now into the organization. They think that they have been actually pimping out young boys to rich people, to high-level donors.
Well, my understanding is he also, Texas is pursuing this too, because my understanding is he brought a kid with him to a bowl game. I think it was Laredo or somewhere in Texas, and actually had a young boy accompany him on a trip. So, you know, did he take one every time they went out of town or went to a bowl game? I don't know. I think this is the tip of the iceberg, but I think before it's all over, it's going to be blown wide open, especially with kids being kidnapped nowadays. And, you know, we have to protect the kids because they can't protect themselves. So this is terrible. I'm really embarrassed. And I'm also embarrassed more because these kids were out rioting and tearing up stuff in favor of Joe Paterno, which he had a hand in this too. And that, for me, was the wrong thing to do. Should have been called for the kids.
And, Chris, you may not be aware of this, you know, this late-breaking story about Second Mile, but I put this on the website too, rfsportsradio.com. Let me read you some of the board of directors for Second Mile. You can kind of see how far this thing stretches. James E. Ford, retired vice president of the Kmart. Jack Ham, retired NFL player, Pittsburgh Steelers Hall of Famer. Franco Harris, Pittsburgh Steelers Hall of Famer. These are all people on the board of directors of Second Mile. You've got Matt Millen, ESPN football analyst. We saw his emotional reaction. Honor Palmer is a part of this. Andy Reid, Dick Vermeil, Mark Wahlberg, the actor and film producer. Quentin Wood, Richard Zimmerman. I mean, the list goes on of these high-profile people from that area that were a part of this Second Mile organization. Not saying that they knew anything about what was going on, but you see how far this thing reaches.
Well, you know, you can't say they were involved. And, you know, I'm not going to say that.
I can't say they were involved. I'm not going to say they were involved.
It started out as a good charitable organization with a good purpose, you know, and one bad apple don't spoil the whole bunch. But, you know, the Boy Scouts, same way. The Boy Scouts, same way. You know,
right. That's true.
Pedophiles infiltrate anything.
That's true. Yeah, you're right about that. Let's take a quick break, man. When we come back, we got to get into the NFL Week 10 key matchups. Chris, you going to stick around with us for the rest of the program?
Yeah, I'll stick around.
We're going to give our mid-season award, too.
That's right.
Today,
Week 10 key matchups and our mid-season awards. You listen to the RF Sports Radio show, Sports Talk from a Fan's Perspective.
Over. The new release from Rifleman, Smoke in the City, available now. Album features Blowfly, Mayhem, Kenfolk Jack, and the Grit Boys, with many, many other. Also featuring production from super producer none other than Big Crit. Available now in all of your favorite online retailers, iTunes, Amazon, Napster, Rhapsody, 7 Digital, E-Music, and every other major online retailer that you can think of. Don't wait, go pick up Smoke in the City now.
I got up this morning late again, rushing, trying to get to the station. Didn't have time to fix coffee or breakfast or even grab a lunch. And I jumped in my car and realized, I don't even have gas. I stopped by the Texaco in DeSoto on Hampton and Pleasant Run, walked in, and immediately thought, this can't be a gas station. And I was right. It was Maryland's Fine Foods. The friendly staff there was able to give me a fresh-made breakfast from scratch, also a gourmet box lunch, and not to mention a tank of gas, too. I got to work and had an awesome day, and then thought my family would love to have a break from fast food. So I went online to Maryland's Fine Foods and placed an order for my entire family. And you know what? When I got to DeSoto, it was hot and ready for me to pick up on my way in. Trust me, guys, you got to try Maryland's Fine Foods, located in DeSoto at Hampton Road and Pleasant Run. Give them a call at 972-274-1070. That's 972-274-1070. Or try them online at marylandsfinefoods.com.
Two guys talking sports from a fan's perspective.
I just like what Carolina's putting together. That quarterback is better than Chad Henne.
So would you say at the end of the season that you're willing to say Carolina's going to have a better record than the Dolphins?
I think so. I think Carolina will have a better record than the Dolphins because the Dolphins have a tougher division in the AFC East.
So are we taping this?
Okay, so yeah, end of the season, I want to go back to that one because I'm not buying. Cam Newton is good, but I'm not buying him as a quarterback as far as leading them to the promised land or winning season. I'm not buying it.
It's Rocket Voice Fisher. This is the RF Sports Show. Coming at you twice a week, only on Deep End Media, Cutting Edge Entertainment.
Welcome back, everyone, to our program, RF Sports Radio. I'm joined by my co-host, Royce Fisher, and our special guest tonight, Chris, Big Chris, as he like to call himself. And
yo,
we're going to talk a little NFL action if we can. Week 10 key matchups. And before we get into that game in San Diego is final. Oakland does win 24-17. Another final in college, Virginia Tech over Georgia Tech 37-26. And Houston over Tulane, get this guy, 73-17.
Wow. What a blowout.
Big blowout there. Let's jump into the key matchups coming up in Week 10, and let's start with the Saints versus the Falcons. Saints, right now, they need to keep the ball rolling. The Falcons need to as well. Both of these guys won last week, and it's going to be a pretty good matchup between NFC South teams. And, Royce, how do you see this one going?
This is a must-win game for both teams in order to establish themselves as a contender come playoff time. I like both of these teams, but I'm going to get a nod to the Saints. I think they bounce back and show what they're made of this week.
Yeah, the Saints right now are 6-3. The Falcons are 5-3. NFC South matchup. Chris, how you like this game?
Well, I would say the Saints will probably bring it home as far as the win. I mean, Atlanta's not going to be a easy battle to win, but we'll see. It should be a good game. It should be one of the better games on this week, I believe.
Yeah, they're at home. The Falcons are at home. And remember last year they were so strong at home. I mean, they didn't lose any games at home until they got to the playoffs. Right now they're 2-1 at home. They've lost one game there. And the Saints have a pretty bad road record. They're 2-3 on the road. I think somehow the Falcons pull this game off, although New Orleans is favored by one. But I think somehow they pull it off. The Saints have not been a very good road team this year. And I think the Falcons are pretty desperate for a win. And after all, I think all they have to do is get the ball to Michael Turner. So I'm going to have to give the win to the Falcons at home. Let's jump to another key matchup real fast because we do have to do our midseason awards for the NFL coming up here shortly. The Steelers versus the Bengals. And, Royce, we talked about the Bengals on Tuesday, just how good the Bengals really are. They're leading the AFC North at 6-2. The Steelers are 6-3. The Ravens are 6-3 as well. So now we find out how good the Bengals are, their first time playing the Steelers this season. It's going to be a home game for the Bengals. Who do you like in this game?
I'm gonna take the Steelers in this game. I think their wide receivers are much better than the Cincinnati defensive backs with Mike Wallace and a Big Ben to bounce back this week. Yeah. I'm gonna go with Pittsburgh.
Well, let's and, not forget now, Pittsburgh's defense lost the game last week.
Yeah, right. I think their offense is better than Cincinnati's offense.
Well, yeah. Now, I don't know. This should be probably a – I don't know if it's going to be an exciting game. It'll probably be a well, the last quarter will be interesting, I bet. But I don't know if the game's going to be all that exciting during. Last quarter should be off the chain, and as far as going back and forth, you know, scores, passing back and forth, as far as lead changes goes, I think probably – normally I probably would say the Steelers will pull it off, but I think the Bengals are going to actually pull it off, actually.
With a rookie quarterback, that Pittsburgh defense, I don't think so.
Yeah.
But Pittsburgh defense has not really
lived up to the black curtain or the steel curtain in the last couple of games. I mean, let's just be honest. Where was the steel curtain last week?
That's true. But they don't lose two in a row.
I think the Bengals have a legitimate chance to win this game at home. The Steelers have two losses on the road, so that's where most of the losses are coming from. The Bengals have one loss at home. And I don't think you give the Bengals defense enough credit, Royce. I think they have done a good job against the teams they played, although they haven't played a great team. And I think I'm really impressed with Marvin Lewis. I'm really impressed by what he's done. And I think I'm going to go with Chris. I think I'm going to give the Bengals the win at home against the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Okay.
I think I'm going to give the Bengals the win at home. So let's go to the NFC, North. Key matchup here is the Lions versus the Bears. And the NFC North gets a chance to play each other because the Vikings take on the Packers also. But the Lions and the Bears. And, Royce, who do you like in this game? The Lions, of course, off to a good start, have kind of stumbled a little bit so far. Don't have a real running game in place since they lost Javon Best.
Right.
But they have a chance to get back on the road. They're 6-2. Bears are 5-3. You saw the Bears beat up on the Eagles in Monday Night Football. Bears at home. Who you like this game?
The Bears showed me some last week. They learned how to block for Jay Cutler. You give Jay Cutler time, he can really beat you up. And with Matt Forte running the ball, one of the best running backs in the league, I got to get a nod to the Bears. The Bears.
Now, Chris, before you make your pick, you must know that the Lions have not lost a game on the road. They're undefeated on the road.
I hear you. I mean, that's good. Yeah, but anybody can lose on any given Sunday more so.
I would say I would probably have to agree that the Bears will pull it out, even though I got my best friends in Detroit. You know what I mean? I think Detroit is probably a better team. But I think this is kind of just going to be one of those any given Sundays. Detroit kind of has a little stumble, maybe has one more mistake or two that ends up costing them the W in the end.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go with the Bears in this game. I like what they did Monday night. Like you said, Royce, they finally blocked for Jay Cutler, his first game in 30 games where he wasn't sacked. And I think they carry that on against the Lions and their defensive front that the Lions have. And I think they pull out a win, you know, especially a win at home, a win that they need to see if they can have any chance of making the playoffs. They have to win this game and give them a chance for a wild card. So I'm going with the Bears to win this game. In an NFC matchup between two first-place teams, believe it or not, and that's the Giants taking on the 49ers. The Giants are 6-2. 49ers are 7-1. The 49ers are 3-1 at home. The Giants are 3-1 away. Pretty even matchup, I would say. So who wins this game? Again, the Cowboys, I must mention that, the only team to beat the 49ers. So can the Giants do the same thing?
What does that have to do with anything as far as the Cowboys beating the 49ers? What does that have to do with anything?
That has to do with nothing.
It has everything to do with it. Go ahead.
They just want to throw he just wanted to throw that out there, Chris, you know, because the Cowboys ain't won before out of four.
Right.
But anyway, I like this 49er team. I think they're playing great. But I think people underestimate this New York Giants team. The Eli Manning has been a quiet beast this year. And the way they've been playing, I like the 49ers, but I'm going to pick the Giants.
Chris, who you liking this game?
As much as it pains me to say it, I think I'm going to have to go with the Giants, man. I mean, their defense is too strong, man. That front line is just, you know, I can't say enough about them, man. That front line is awesome.
They do have a good front line, but for the sake of the Cowboys having a chance to win the NFC East,
that's
I'm going to pick the
49ers. Right.
I'm going to take the 49ers to win at home in that game.
You hope the 49ers win.
Absolutely, I hope the 49ers win. A game that's pretty close to your heart, Chris, is the Patriots taking on the Jets in a rematch of an earlier game this season that the Patriots did win. This time the Jets are at home, which they're undefeated at home this season. And the Patriots, two of the three losses that they have have come on the road. So, Chris, I want to ask you first. Do the Patriots right the ship? Do they beat the Jets? What's going to happen?
Yeah, I think we get the Jets. I think we get the Jets. I mean, the Jets are a familiar team to us. It's not unfamiliar territory. We know how to win against them, basically, and I think we'll just apply what we know and how to win and pull it out.
I think the Jets are a different team than played the Patriots earlier this season. I think the Jets will win this game. I think the defense is playing better. I think they figured out with Sanchez what he's ready to do this season, what he's not ready to do. I think they finally started using Plexico Burress in the red zone like they need to. And I think the Jets will win this game pretty easily. Honestly, I think it might not be an offensive shootout that the Patriots have been involved in as of late, but I think the Jets win this game.
Well, you're not going to vote for the Patriots anyway, so I already know who you're going to pick anyway. It doesn't matter who we're playing.
Russ, who you like in this game?
Well, I think the New England Patriots have been exposed. I think it's a chink in their armor, and that's the offensive line. If they can't protect Brady, there's no way in the world they will win. But I think Ryan comes after Brady on every down. They're going to blitz. They're going to do every defense package they have. I'm going to give a slight, just a very slight margin to the Jets. 3 points.
So the two for the Jets and one for the Patriots. And good thing is we all get to watch that game together. It's a Sunday night game.
That's right.
And we'll
That's
be
right.
all watching the game together to see who is going to pull out the win. Last game
I'll
we need to go
watch
to
the
is
game
the
with you.
Last game.
Everybody doesn't know that the last game that I watched with Rodney on the Patriots is the game that we had the undefeated season and went to the Super Bowl after we were called cheaters the whole season and whooped everybody up to the Super Bowl and lost the game in the Super Bowl against the Giants. That's the last game that I watched with Rodney with the Patriots. He's bad luck watching them against the Patriots. You watch it at home, or I'll go watch it somewhere else and I'll text you.
Well, you know what? It doesn't matter how you start, Chris. It's how you finish. So they didn't finish.
Right.
Let's
jump to the last game we need to talk about, a key matchup, and that's the Cowboys versus the Bills. A lot of backstories for this game. Number one, the Bills have kind of made their way as a good NFL team. They kind of went from worst to first, I guess, in a lot of cases. And part of that reason, Royce, is a guy that you like, and that's Chan Gailey. And Chan Gailey gets a chance to return and coach against a team that he has coached for quite some time, not just as a head coach, but as part of the coaching staff as well. How you see this game going, Royce, and do you think Chan Gailey is one of those good coaches that the Cowboys may let go?
Yes, absolutely. Three reasons why the Cowboys are not going to win. Fitzpatrick is going to have a field day on your weak defensive backs. Fred Jackson
And the Cowboys cannot stop the running game. We saw that with Philadelphia. Fred Jackson is the best running back in the league right now. And Chan Gailey gets revenge on Jerry Jones. I'm going to go with Buffalo.
Chris, what do you think about this one?
Are you seriously asking me this?
Yeah, no. Tell the world you want the Cowboys to win, please.
What? I'm not a Cowboys fan. Let the world, let it be known today, 11-10-11, that I'm not a Cowboys fan. No, I like Jerry, but as far as the rest of them jokers, no. I ain't
wrong
trying
coach.
To hear Cowboys lose, man. Wrong coach.
I'm going with the Cowboys to win this game.
Tell us why.
I go for them to improve 5-4. Reason why is for one reason. Okay, because Jason Garrett hopefully has learned, and you can tell from the last couple of games, he has learned that he cannot rely on Romo to do anything. And we can tell because he finally has a running back that can run the football. He's got the best 3-game total for yards than anybody's ever put together in a Cowboy uniform. Let me finish. In three games, he has rushed for 539 yards. Fred Jackson, as good as he's been this season, has played in 8 games, and he's rushed for 803 yards. He's got 500 in 3 games, and they will run the ball. They will keep the ball out of Romo's hands only to do what he can do. And I think as long as they stick to that and the defense plays up to that level that they can play at, they can win this game.
Okay, hey, even though he's rushed for that much.
Let's not waste a bunch of words on the Cowboys. I mean, there's really no point. You're talking about a team that's 5-4. They're not really going to be in contention for a ring. So that's just what it is.
They are
very
much
in
contention. They're
4-4. But let me say this about the Cowboys. He might have ran for 500 yards in 3 games, but they have not won 3 games. So it doesn't matter what he does. It's 11-man roster. My understanding is
so many Munsons on their team. You know that basically. You know, one individual effort, doesn't matter how many yards he gets. Dennis Bryant could have 200-300 yards receiving,
and
they can
still
not win the game because they're Munson that a simple mistake. You know, things like you could have your running back with 200 yards, you could have your receivers with 150 yards across, you know, 2-3 receivers, and they could still have Tony Romo. Have, you know, 2-3 mistakes that end up costing them the game. Now, we're talking about Buffalo. This ain't somebody that's going to sit back and not capitalize off of no turnover or something goes in that direction. I mean, let's just be honest.
Okay, let me say this about Buffalo. Chan Gailey's done a good job. I'm still not sold that the Buffalo Bills are a premier team in the NFL. I mean, they're 5-3. You know, they're 5-3.
Neither are the Cowboys.
Well,
I think the Cowboys are a better team than the Buffalo Bills. Period.
How do you say that?
They're a better team than the Buffalo Bills. I mean,
their record don't reflect it.
Whether they play better than the Buffalo Bills remains to be seen.
There's nobody that agrees with you that their level of play is better than the Buffalo Bills.
Right. Their record don't reflect it.
No, it doesn't. Level of play is not better than the Buffalo Bills. Come on, you need to tell me Romo's level of play is up with that quarterback, and their level of play as far as defensively is up with the Buffalo Bills. The same team that happened to get over on the Patriots.
The Cowboys had a chance to beat the Patriots.
You guys are going to pass out your awards. This is going to be a lot of calls. Let's talk about this all night.
They did. Let's move on. And you're right. And let's go ahead and move on. Let's get to our NFL midseason awards. We got about 10 minutes left in the program. We're still taking your calls, 323-927-2                                                                                                                                                                                                                                                                                                                                                                                                                                                                                                                                                            ==================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================== 2906, our mid-season NFL awards. Let's start with the biggest award of all and best quarterback so far in the mid-season. My best quarterback award goes to Aaron Rodgers. The way he's really orchestrated his team, I've seen him use his feet. I've seen him use his arm. I've seen him make some throws that I don't think I've seen anyone make before. I've seen him hit every receiver on the roster at times. My best quarterback award goes to Aaron Rodgers.
I got to agree with that. That's who I picked, Aaron Rodgers. So far, he's the best in the league right now.
Tom Brady.
Put him on any team.
Hey, Kristen, your best quarterback is going to be Tom Brady. Are you serious?
Tom Brady.
Are you serious right now?
Let me say this right quick. Let me say this right quick.
I just wanted to hear your level of excitement go up.
I'm going to tell you why it's Aaron Rodgers. 24 TDs and 3 interceptions. Mm-hmm. Nobody has done better than that so far.
I've watched the football just like everybody else has all during the weeks, man. I agree with you, Aaron Rodgers. I ain't got no argument with that.
Okay.
All right, so unanimous vote, Aaron Rodgers, best QB. Let's jump to best running back. And so far, Royce, who is the best running back you've seen in our midseason awards?
I got a tie running between two guys. And reason why it's a tie, because both of these guys are on my fantasy team, Fred Jackson and Matt Forte. I'll say those two are at a tie. They both are leading the league, so I got a tie on that one.
My best running back so far this midseason is Matt Forte. I mean, what he's done running the ball, what he's done catching the ball as well, yards from scrimmage, I have to go with Matt Forte. Right now, Forte has 805 yards, 2 TDs, 148 carries. I mean, the guy gets the ball a lot, and he does a lot with it. If I had to pick someone to go second, in that particular one, I mean, you could definitely say Fred Jackson. He's had a, you know, good season. But, you know, I wish they would have played DeMarco Murray first, because he might have been my number one choice.
The way I don't want to hear that.
About.
Go on.
He might have been my number one choice. Chris, who is your best running back so far?
Danny Woodhead.
All right, Moving on. Best wide receiver that you've seen so far in the NFL, Royce. Who do you give the midseason award to?
I give the midseason award for best wide receiver to Calvin Johnson. He has made some
even though last couple of games he's kind of disappeared the last couple of games.
The guy, when he hits the field, he's always a threat. I mean, who can jump higher than he can? Who can make the acrobatic catch? I got to give it to Calvin Johnson.
That's a good pick. Chris, who's the best wide receiver you've seen midseason?
Wes Welker.
Yep, Wes Welker. I knew that.
My wide receiver award goes to Steve Smith for the Carolina Panthers. I mean, 46 receptions, 918 yards, 4 TDs. I mean, the guy has had a resurgence with a rookie quarterback. That's pretty good. I mean,
he's
got 11 touchdowns, and he's throwing 4 of them to Steve Smith. Steve Smith has been playing like a beast this season.
He hasn't won a game, though.
And my second one would have to be Victor Cruz. I put him even above Calvin Johnson. Calvin Johnson should be jumping over 3 or 4 players at a time to grab the ball. I mean, the guy's Megatron, but Victor Cruz has kind of come on of late for the Giants, and he's really had a good season, I think, so far.
Well, he only catches maybe 3 or 4 passes a game. Calvin Johnson is the main receiver with Detroit. So I got an argument for that, but Victor Cruz is on my fantasy team.
He's had a good season.
Let's move on. Right.
All right, let's move on. Best rookie. Mid-season award for the best rookie.
Do we have to discuss this? Hands down. Everybody agree? Cam Newton.
You say Cam Newton? Okay, well, but you just brought up record to me when I put up Steve Smith. What about Andy Dalton? Andy Dalton got his team first in the AFC North. I mean, they're 62.
Okay, let's look at numbers. Cam Newton averages 300 yards, 290 yards a game. He's made over 60% of his passes. Andy Dalton can't compete with that.
Well, Dalton has passed for 1,696 yards, 12 TDs, and he's got his team at a 6-2 record. I mean, if you're looking at rookie QBs, he's got the better record. You want your rookie
QB
to equal
win. He has a better team. He has a better team. We're talking about best rookie. He has a better team. Who has the most impact? Cam Newton.
Well, absolutely. I mean, that team didn't have but two wins all season last year, so you can definitely say he's had a bigger impact. You know, now don't get me wrong. I think Cam is the best rookie that we've seen so far in the league. I agree with that. But if you're looking at quarterbacks and leading their teams to a great record, you cannot discount what Andy Dalton has done as a rookie QB.
They have a better team right now.
This is not a discussion about, you know, kind of comparing both against each other. You're basically saying who's going to take the top prize. Who would you give the key to the city to?
Well, my best rookie, 1A, 1A and 1B is Cam Newton, 1A, Andy Dalton, 1B. I think both of these guys have played great, honestly. I think both of them have played lights out.
Sudden
whole
playoff, who wins?
I say Cam wins. I mean, Cam's got more physical talent, more natural ability than I think Andy Dalton has. Yeah.
Right.
I think so. And if I had to look at the defensive rookie of the year, I'm going with Patrick Peterson and with the Arizona Cardinals. The guy's already run back two touchdowns as it is.
Okay.
Let's jump to total defense. What is the best total defense in our midseason awards, fellas?
This is a surprise pick for you all. I'm going with San Francisco. They have really turned. They went from no defense to one of the top five defense. I'm going with San Francisco.
That's not a bad pick. That's not a bad pick. Chris, best defense you've seen so far in the NFL midseason?
It's hard for me to really pick one. Defenses have been really shaky. I probably would say in my years of watching football, this is probably one of the worst years for defenses that I've seen. I mean, I would normally say probably like maybe the Ravens, but I haven't really seen, you know, Reed and a lot of those guys make normal plays. Seen Polamalu, you know, kind of mess up a few games and whatnot. So I don't know. I don't really – nobody's defense really excites me this year. If you go back to earlier in the season when we talked, I said, this is going to be the year of the offense. I've been looking at offense because offense has been winning the game because defenses can't compare. You know, whoever's getting the ball last in the end with the game on the line, 2 minutes left.
Right,
basically,
Yeah,
defense is trying not to lose the game, basically, but it's going to go down to the offense. I haven't been looking at defenses too much this year.
I would have to say best defense I've seen this year. Royce, I think you're right. I think you're on something when you said the 49ers. I mean, to be 7-1, that team, the way they played last season, they've won games with defense. You saw what they did with Ted Ginn when he ran that kickback to win a game. You've seen the defense making exceptions to win games. I mean, they've kept their team in it. I mean, they've been able to run the ball and win games running the ball, and they'll do that. You have to have a good defense, and that's what they've really done. So, I do agree with you on that. I think definitely 49ers are the biggest surprise. Now, you can look at the usual suspects, the Ravens. I mean, you can look at
Pittsburgh,
the Jets, Pittsburgh. You can look at all those as well, too. Let's jump real quick to the best offense that we've seen midseason before we get to our last midseason award, which is best coach. But what's the best total offense you've seen this season, Royce?
I got to say Green Bay. Undefeated. Got to be the best.
Yeah. I would agree with that. I think Green Bay is the best offense that we've seen. Anytime you can hit every receiver on the roster, I mean, you got a pretty good offense.
Without a running game.
Right. Chris, who's the best offense you've seen?
New England Patriots.
Oh,
yeah.
All right, moving on. Best coach. Last award of the night. Best coach, Roy. Who you giving it to?
Hey, well, Ryan, best offense ain't the Cowboys, too. That much. Well, we know that. Okay. For me, best coach is another tie. I got to split this, and I'm going to go with Chan Gailey for what he's done with Buffalo, no team, and Jim Harbaugh of San Francisco. So I got a tie.
Well, I got a tie as well, and one of them is Jim Harbaugh for San Francisco, what he's done. But my other one goes to Marvin Lewis. I mean, to have his team 6-2 with a rookie quarterback, a rookie wide receiver, you lose Carson Palmer, you lose T.O., you lose Ocho Cinco, you lose Cedric Benson to suspension and going to jail, and you got this team 6-2 on top of the one of the toughest divisions in football, the AFC North. I have to give Marvin Lewis some love on that.
Okay.
I got to give Marvin Lewis some love on that. Yeah. Yeah, it's a tie on that. It's a tie on that. Chris, go ahead and amuse us. Who's the best coach in the NFL midseason?
Bill Belichick, baby.
Oh, no. You can't be serious.
Patriots fans around the world are rejoicing every time that Chris is on the radio show. But
yeah,
that's been our show for tonight, guys. We thank everyone for tuning in. Make sure you tune in this Saturday live at 11 a.m. Tune in tomorrow, Friday night, 6:45, Friday Night Football Tailgate, which will be live on our website, rabsportsradio.com. You find the, you can see the, hear the DeSoto Eagles take on A&M Consolidated in a Texas high school playoff game. That kicks off at 6:45. And then Saturday, our live show with Deep End Media kicks off. Check our website for details about that. Usually starts about 11 a.m., but may start at 10 a.m., but we'll let you guys know. Follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/RF Sports Radio, and follow Chris on Twitter at twitter.com/TestDriveAmerica. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in, and we will see you guys this weekend, tomorrow, and beyond. Until then, God bless you and good night.
Go Pacers.
Two guys talking sports
from a fan's perspective.
I just like what Carolina's putting together. I mean, their quarterback is better than Chad Henne.
So
Cam Newton's better than Chad Henne.
So would you say at the end of the season that you're willing to say Carolina's going to have a better record than the Dolphins?
I think so. I think Carolina will have a better record than the Dolphins because the Dolphins have a tougher division in the AFC East.
So are we taping this?
Okay, so yeah, end of the season, I want to go back to that one because I'm not buying. Cam Newton is good, but I'm not buying him as a quarterback as far as leading them to the promised land or winning season. I'm not buying it.
It's Rocket Boy Fisher. This is the RF Sports Show.
Coming at you twice a week, only on
Deep End Media, Cutting Edge Entertainment.